Chapter 11, The Final Three Books of the Third Division. The last three books of the Third Division, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles, are also canonical books, but they are books that were not kept in the library rooms within the temple that were associated with the three main compartments of the temple. These three books were kept outside the confines of the temple, but still in a secret area on the Mount of Olives, located just outside the camp of Israel as it existed in the time of Jesus. These were kept at the walled village of Bethphage, of which I spoke earlier. This was a priestly city reckoned in the time of the Second Temple to be an integral part of the city of Jerusalem, in which the court of the Sanhedrin gave their official decisions on what the limits of the city of Jerusalem were to be, what the regulations were about the killing of the red heifer, the decisions to execute a rebellious elder, and, as we will see, where the census and genealogical records were kept to prove who was an Israelite, a Levite, and priest, etc. Bethphage, outside the camp. In regard to this latter role for the Sanhedrin in Bethphage, it should be mentioned that the altar on which the red heifer and the sin offerings on the Day of Atonement were burnt to ashes was called the Mifkad altar. The word Mifkad means numbering or counting, and in this case it means counting the heads of persons who were Israelites, firstborn ones, Levites, or priests. In Hebrew, the word head is Golgolet. Indeed, the place where these heads were counted, or numbered, was at the site of the Mifkad numbering altar, just to the west of the village of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Because of this, this region on the Mount of Olives became known in New Testament times as Golgotha through the Greek, where heads or the skulls of people were counted in any numbering or census of Israel. In Old Testament times, the Hebrews would have simply said to go to the Mifkad altar region, the Golgolet area, to count the heads of people, and in the New Testament period, they would have said to go to Golgotha, the place where one gets his head, or for a dead person his skull, counted at the times of numbering, or censuses. So, the village of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives was located just east of the region of Golgotha where people were counted or numbered at or near the Mifkad altar, the numbering altar, and the place where the red heifer and the sin offerings of the Day of Atonement were burnt to ashes. It was in this very region on the Mount of Olives where Jesus was crucified after the Sanhedrin had given their final decision at Bethphage to have him executed for what they considered to be his blasphemy. In a word, all matters involving genealogical or census records of the people of Israel were kept at the library at Bethphage, which was a village exclusively for priests and where the second court of the great Sanhedrin was located. Though Bethphage was reckoned to be an official part of the city of Jerusalem, it was actually situated outside the camp of just east of the summit of the Mount of Olives and a little further east of the Mifkad altar. This eastern entrance to the camp was considered to be the eastern gate into the proper city limits of Jerusalem. There was no actual gate that we know of at this eastern entrance. This, however, was where the official counting or the numbering of Israelites, either living or dead in some instances, took place. The reasons that such things were done at the gate was to fulfill the biblical stipulation that the elders of the land were supposed to sit in the gates, or the entrance, to the cities of the Israelites at certain times of judgment. Recall Proverbs chapter 31, verse 23, which says, "Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders." Also, "Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates." Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. Thus, the Sanhedrin in the time of Jesus had a second court for decisions involving counting or numbering and setting the limits of the city of Jerusalem and the temple, etc. This was at the eastern entrance to the camp of Israel. This is why the priest village of Bethphage was built and why the Sanhedrin met in that locale. The reason the official genealogical records of the nation and those prime biblical records were the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles were kept in this village of Bethphage was because people who claimed to be Israelites could have their records checked in person at this official place outside the camp on the Mount of Olives to see if they were allowed to enter the camp itself or especially to enter the temple. What are the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Chronicles? These books are basically genealogical lists of Israelites, with appropriate historical events, to show who was an Israelite, a son of David, a Levite, or a priest. All the checking of these matters was accomplished outside the camp of Israel, that is, outside the city of Jerusalem proper and the temple. It would have been inappropriate, of course, to have these books available for inspection inside the temple. How could one who is not sure of his pedigree or ritualistic status have the books which could prove his claim to be an Israelite, or priest, or Levite, or whatever, located within the restricted area itself? Reason demands that such books and records had to be available for inspection and evaluation outside the camp to determine the ritualistic status of the people. The Book of Daniel. But why was the Book of Daniel placed in this outside library of the Sanhedrin and not with the other prophets inside the temple? The answer is simple. In a later chapter, I will show that in the Bible, a person writing a book was considered a living person who always accompanied the book, whether the person was living or dead. Since Daniel, though of royal blood from David, was a eunuch, Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 and 7, this prohibited him by ritualistic law from entering into the camp of Israel and certainly not into the temple itself. This rule of ritual, however, prevented the Book of Daniel from being positioned alongside the other prophetical books of the Old Testament. This is because the other prophetic books were placed in association with the six pieces of furniture in the priestly section of the temple. On the other hand, prophecies principally centered on interpreting the dreams or visions of Gentile kings, who themselves could not enter the temple, and related the fortunes of the Gentile kingdoms until the setting up of the kingdom of God. And as mentioned before, Daniel was ritually forbidden to enter the temple because of being a eunuch. Daniel's book of prophecies, as important as they are, were associated by Ezra with the outside genealogical books at the village of the Sanhedrin, Bethphage, on the Mount of Olives, outside the camp of Israel. What this shows is that the 22 books of the Old Testament have themes to them which demand that they be kept or associated in libraries maintained by the priests that were appropriate for their contexts. The majority of the books were housed, for reference purposes, at the library associated with the Sanhedrin at the Chamber of Hewn Stones. The Sanhedrin, and any legal professionals, could consult them in an easy fashion. This was necessary to do on many occasions because there was a legal basis attached to all of them in helping to govern the nation of Israel. The first five books of the first division are analogous with the five pieces of furniture in the Holy of Holies. The next six books of the second division are shown to be slightly less holy by being positioned outward from the Holy of Holies in a counterclockwise order to associate with the six pieces of furniture in the priestly section of the temple. The first three books of the third division are associated with the court of Israel and the men's portion of the court. The next five books are associated with the court of the women in the easternmost section of the temple. But the last three books of the third division are associated with the library at the official village of the Sanhedrin called Bethphage, which was located outside the camp on the Mount of Olives. The continuing importance of Bethphage. This village of Bethphage was an important area of the Sanhedrin in the time of Jesus. Indeed, it was even recognized to be so by later Jews after the time of Islam. There are Jewish records showing this. The Encyclopedia Judaica, under the article Mount of Olives, has an important survey about the significance of Olivet in these later times. Indeed, the Encyclopedia shows that by the end of the 8th century, when the Jews were no longer allowed to enter the Temple Mount, the Mount of Olives became the place, like in the time Bethphage was in operation in the period of Jesus, for proclaiming the beginning of the calendar years. This is the precise spot where the Jewish people raised up what the authorities called a Great Sanhedrin to regulate legal matters involving the people of Israel. The Jewish authorities stated they had the right to pick this spot on the Mount of Olives because the Shekinah moved to this spot after the fall of the temple in 70 CE. They even came to believe that this region on the Mount of Olives was actually the footstool of God, because it stated in Zechariah chapter 14 that God would certainly stand on the Mount of Olives. A stone was even shown on the summit which was supposed to represent God's footstool. They reckoned that the footstool of God meant that the Mount of Olives was the spot where God would teach His people His laws and directions, but it meant much more than that. The symbol of the footstool for God's feet meant nothing less than this spot was where God figuratively dwelt on earth and where people were to gather to worship Him. In other words, the phrase footstool represented God's holy residence on earth, His tabernacle and later His temple, the official place to worship God. Note what the scriptures teach. We will go into His tabernacles, the holy place and the holy of holies. We will worship at His footstool. Psalm 132, verse 7. Exalt you the Lord our God and worship at His footstool, for He is holy. Psalm 99, verse 5. How has the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in His anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remembered not His footstool, His temple, in the day of His anger. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 1. To beautify the place of My sanctuary, and I will make the place of My feet glorious. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13. These scriptures show that the footstool of God was reckoned as the holiest place on earth and where people were officially required to worship God. It is no accident that the later Jewish authorities, when Islam began, returned to Jerusalem and went directly to the Mount of Olives and called that mount God's footstool. They seemed to know that God had abandoned lower Mount Moriah as the place of His footstool, and that God was now reckoning the Mount of Olives, upper Mount Moriah, as the proper footstool of God. This was the place where people could gather around His feet to worship God and to learn of His ways. Because Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4 stated that God would one day stand on the Mount of Olives, it would become His footstool. This may have been a reason why the Jewish authorities in the time of the Second Temple placed the second site of the Sanhedrin at Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. They came to this area to worship at God's feet. The Place of Teaching. So, long after the Temple was destroyed in 70 CE, it was recognized by later Jewish authorities that the area of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives was also a proper place to have the Great Sanhedrin of later times. They reckoned it to be the actual place on earth where God had His footstool, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. These later Jewish authorities believed this was the area on earth where God would continue to teach His people His ways. And indeed, we will come to see that the New Testament Gospels and Acts were brought together at this very place on the Mount of Olives, along with the book of Daniel, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the book of Chronicles. The Gospels and Acts, we will come to see, were centered for preservation and canonical purposes directly at this spot on the Mount of Olives. This region on the Mount of Olives is where God's footstool for teaching was reckoned to be centered by the later Jewish authorities after the fall of Jerusalem and the Temple. Note this next symbolic point carefully. The Holy of Holies in the Temple was analogous to the throne of God in heaven. The holy place outside the Holy of Holies was reckoned as typical of the heavens where the sun, moon, the planets, and stars had their abode. The court of the Israelites, to the east of the holy place, was believed to be the symbolic place called heaven where the birds fly and all weather phenomena take place. But the region of the Mithgad altar on top of the Mount of Olives, located eastward and outside the camp of Israel, was where God had reckoned to be the place of His footstool on earth. It was at this footstool where God finally came personally in contact with the earth and people on the earth. Thus, to later Jews, to gather around God's feet for instruction in righteousness meant to assemble on the Mount of Olives, and this was especially the case after the destruction of the temple in 70 CE. Indeed, this is precisely what the Christian authorities did after 70 CE, as attested by Eusebius, the first Christian historian, which I will later show in this book. So influential did the Christian authorities become in this area on the Mount of Olives that the Jewish authorities moved their Sanhedrin away from the region of Jerusalem right after 70 CE to the town of Jamnia, on the coast of Palestine. The Sanhedrin remained there until 135 CE. Then it moved into certain regions of Galilee until 429 CE, when the Romans had the Sanhedrin disbanded. Only with the arrival of Islam did the Jewish authorities finally raise up another Sanhedrin, which they began to call the Great Sanhedrin, and they did this by returning to the summit of the Mount of Olives, the place of God's footstool, in order to be in intimate association with God. The Mount of Olives and the New Testament. There is even more. Without going too far ahead in our discussion, let me recount that the next five books of the canon are the five New Testament books, the Gospels and Acts. These books were never a part of the temple apparatus in Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul said Christians were to leave the old Jerusalem behind and go to the altar where Christ carried his crosspiece at the time of his crucifixion. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 9 through 15. That place was at the summit of the Mount of Olives. The Gospels and Acts are particularly connected with the life of Christ and his body, the Ecclesia, and the Mount of Olives is predominantly a mountain associated with Christ and his ministry, as we will see in later sections of this book. Indeed, the first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, give the history of Jesus Christ while he taught on earth, while the fifth, the book of Acts, gives the historical teaching of and about Christ after he returned to heaven. These five New Testament books represent the New Testament law, just as the first five Old Testament books represent the Old Testament law. Number symbolism. Since in Hebrew, five of the Hebrew alphabetic letters, when they end a word, when they are the last alphabetic letter, they take on a different shape while they still retain their alphabetic value. So the 22 books of the Old Testament had a further five books, making 27 in all, that would give a different theological slant and a different canonical approach in the full canon. These five final forms of the Hebrew alphabetic letters were to show Israel that Israel could expect five more books to be attached to the first 22 books in order to make 27 books in all, which would lead Israel up to the coming of the Messiah and include the basic teachings of their Messiah. There is interesting teaching to the Jewish people if they reckon the final forms of the five terminal letters as a part of their alphabet. This was using a form of alphabetic interpretation known as gematria. Examples are found in both the Old and New Testaments. The teaching can be considered mystical, but so was the Apostle John when he referred to a prophetic interpretation using gematria. Note that there are actually 27 forms to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, counting the five terminal letters. If one reckons the Hebrew alphabet in this manner, the first letter is Aleph and the last letter is Tau, but the middle letter in the 27 numbering is Mem. Now, these Hebrew letters put together are Aleph Mem Tav, which is the Hebrew word Emet, and it means truth. I firmly believe that these different shapes to five of the Hebrew letters was an esoteric hint to the Jewish authorities that they should look for at least five more books to fill up the canon that Ezra had designed. These five books would be the terminal books to the Mosaic Law leading up to their Messiah. Since it has long been recognized that the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet answer to the 22 books of the Old Testament canon, adding the five terminal letters to that list, making 27 letters, would cause a person to include the further five books of the New Testament, the Gospels and Acts, to terminate the Scriptures to the Hebrews up to the coming of their Messiah, Jesus Christ. Interestingly, the letters showing the beginning, middle, and end of these 27 letters, which represented books of the Holy Scriptures, record the word truth in Hebrew, and that is precisely what those 27 books do for the final canon for the Jewish people up to the coming of their Messiah. As a matter of fact, when one adds the other 22 New Testament books, note that the addition is 22 more books, then one arrives at 49 books to the complete canon of God. 7 times 7 books. These matters are not accidents. This is God's way of showing His people Israel and the whole world what represents the truth. Conclusion. In closing this chapter, let us look at one more important factor. Since the last three books of the Old Testament and the original canon of 22 books were kept in the library at the priestly village of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, the next five books, the Gospels and the Acts, would center their principal contexts upon the activities of Christ Jesus, which occurred at his crucifixion and resurrection on the same Mount of Olives. Ezra placed the last three books of the original canon outside the camp of Israel. The New Testament begins with focusing on this axial geographical area of the Mount of Olives, which was in the same place outside the camp of Israel. Where one part of the canon leaves off, the other part of the canon takes over. This shows a connection between the two main divisions of the full canon, the Old and the New Testaments. Later Jews came to realize that the summit of the Mount of Olives was God's footstool. This is where one would go to obtain the official teachings of God, just like the Apostle Paul got his early teaching at the feet of Gamaliel. And we will come to see that this is where the New Testament was brought together as a part of the divine canon. I will have more to say on this later. This arrangement of the Old Testament books by Ezra the priest in accord with the divisions of the temple, God's own house, and ending up at the threshold area at Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, allowed all the 22 books to be given official sanction by the Sanhedrin and the Jewish authorities. It also positioned the Old Testament books according to ritualistic laws which governed the Israelite society from Moses to Christ Jesus. And most importantly, it directed the attention of the authorities in Israel to look for another set of books, 27 more books, making 49 in all, which would complete the full canon of the Holy Scriptures for Israel and the world. It is very needful to have the original arrangement of the biblical books in our modern Bibles. The proper order gives us some essential teachings from God that we could not otherwise observe. The next chapter will explain the importance of these Old Testament books being in their correct canonical arrangement.